We started with the reasons for studying this, then the word search, then the two aspects of the search, then what was it? What is that? Formation of the church. Then after that? Autonomy of the church. Then? Ordinances of the church. Then? Administration of the church. So quite a lot, right? Yeah. Now, for the title for this class, we can write like this: Believers' Duties to the Church. Believers' duties to the church. Now, if you want to make it a little more personalized, you can say, my duties to the church. Understood? If you want to make it a little more personal. You can say, my duties to the church. We have been, you know, learning a lot of things about it, isn't it? But now while we are studying, we definitely should know, what is my duty to the church? In our last class, towards the end of it, we had seen our duty to the leadership, isn't it? And now, here we are seeing it in general. Now, to begin with, let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we will read verses 14 and 15. 1 Timothy 3, 14 and 15. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. All right. Now, who is writing this? Paul. To whom is he writing? Timothy. Where was Timothy when he was writing this? Uncle, how can you expect us to answer all that, isn't it? He was in Ephesus. Where was Paul then? Macedonia. You have that in chapter 1 and verse 3, alright? Macedonia. You remember Acts of Apostles, how many chapters it has? 28 chapters, alright? 28 chapters. In that 28th chapter, where is Apostle Paul? No. He is in Rome, in the prison. Alright? He is imprisoned there. So in chapter 28, he is in the prison at Rome. And we understand that he was released from that imprisonment. He came out of that prison. And he, where all he went after that, we do not know exactly. But when you read 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy and Titus, we see certain places where he visited after coming out of that prison. He traveled with his young disciples like Timothy, Titus and people like that. So, he came to Ephesus. He came to Ephesus with Timothy. Alright? Now, in Ephesus, there was a church. You know that, right? Yes or no? Yeah. When you come to the Acts of Apostles, chapter 18, 19 and all that, we see Apostle Paul staying there in Ephesus for about 2 years, more than 2 years, ministering the gospel to the people, and all Asia came to know the gospel. And many people turned to the Lord from Ephesus. So there was a church in Ephesus. Now from that Acts of Apostles till here in 1 Timothy, about 20 years had passed. Alright? So Apostle Paul is visiting that place, that church, with Timothy. And when he came there, things were not so desirable there in Ephesus. Lot of problems. No proper leadership. False teachings were there. You know? No order. Nothing was there. Now, things should be set in order. But Paul didn't have time to do all that. You know what he did? He left Timothy there. He said, Timothy, now you set these things in order. And he traveled further. And he came to Macedonia. And after coming to Macedonia, he is thinking, hey, how this young man is going to do the work in Ephesus. It's an old church. And the people there are more experienced than Timothy. Now, if Timothy is trying to set in order, you know, the problem, isn't it? People will not accept. They will despise him. So, he needs direction, guidance. So, thinking about that great task of ministry which Timothy had to fulfill there in Ephesus, to guide him, direct him, Apostle Paul is writing this from Macedonia. He wrote many things in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. And in the middle of that epistle, he is taking a break and he is telling Timothy, why am I writing all this? I have a plan to come there personally, but I don't know when I am going to come. Alright, now I am writing this. Why? You should know how you should behave yourself in the church. Because church is the house of God. Church is the church of the living God. You got it? Living God. You see that phrase, living God, appearing in the Old Testament and the New Testament also. I think in the Old Testament also you have, that appearing for about 15 times. And in the New Testament also it appears, you know, in equal number. Living God. What is the significance of it? If our God was only a lifeless God, an idol, well, we don't have to, you know, be very careful. We can do whatever we want in the church then. Because he won't say anything. He won't see anything. He won't hear anything. Am I right? Yes or no? Yeah. But we are not serving an idol. We are serving a lifeless one. We are serving a living God. Church is the church of the living God. This is an important truth that we have to remember. Church is the house of God. Church belongs to a living God. That means if you go wrong, he will feel it. He can see it. He can hear it. We have to be careful. We should see how we conduct ourselves in the house of God. We should see how we fulfill our duties in relationship to this church, which is the church of the living God. I am explaining these things to tell you how important it is for us to remember our duties to the local assemblies. Many a time we think our Sunday morning we have to go sit there. Kuch bhi hone do, sit there till 1 o'clock, 12 o'clock and come out with daddy and mommy. Sin? That's what happens, am I right? We should know our duties. Our relationship to the church should not be just passive. It should be active. You know, passive and active, isn't it? Come on, you don't even nod your head. Yes, yeah, passive and active. Now, we have to be active toward the church, isn't it? Now, about the believer's duties to the assemblies, I put in 7 points. We won't be able to go into the details, but, we will touch upon all that 7 points. And you can write it down. We won't go into the details. And this is important. And at the same time, this is very simple also. Because it has to do with us, with me, with you. Alright, number one. We must be witnesses. We must be witnesses. When I say witnesses, with the church, isn't it? You know, church has, or a local assembly has, two forms of existence. Listen to what I'm telling, okay? A local assembly has two forms of existence. One is scattered, another one is gathered. scattered and gathered. We are all belonging to some assembly in our own locality. Right or wrong? Right or wrong? Yeah. Suppose you are a member of that assembly at Nalasopara or say Mira Road. Alright? Now where are you? Now where are you? Yeah, Andheri. You're not there now. You are here now. Alright? And there are other people also. Where are they all? Some are in the colleges, some are in the schools, some are in the offices, some are in the market, some are in the homes, right? That's scattered, scattered. And that time also, what is there? Church is in existence, alright? Church is in existence. Church is in existence not just on Sunday morning 3 hours. Once it's planted in an assembly, in a locality, it exists always, isn't it? Until it finishes its course, it's there. And when it is not gathered, well, the members are in various places in the society. That is the scattered form. That is the scattered form. And then there is the gathered form also. Gathered. And that is when the church is in gathering. Alright? When the gathering is there. Now, which form most of the time? Scattered or gathered? Scattered, isn't it? In a week, well, only a few hours we gather. But all the rest of the time it is scattered. But at the same time, even when it is scattered in the society, church is in existence. But in the scattered form. So in the scattered form and in the gathered form also, we have duties. Now this first one which mentioned, first point which we mentioned now, has to do with the responsibility in a scattered form. Responsibility to the society wherein it is scattered. And what is that responsibility? We must be what? Witnesses. We must be witnesses. That has to do with the evangelization. We have to testify about the Lord Jesus Christ. That has to happen through our lives and through our words also. When you come to Acts of Apostles, the Lord told the disciples, "Ye shall be my," what? "He shall be my," come on, "witnesses," isn't it? "You shall be my witnesses." And when you read through that Acts of Apostles, many times this disciple says, "We are witnesses, we are witnesses, we are witnesses. We have seen it happen. We have witnesses to the resurrection." So that, if you want to write some of the references against that, you can write this. Acts 1:8. We won't read it, but you can read it later. Acts 1:8. Acts 5:32. 2:32. 3:15. 10:41. 10:41, 13:31. I think some of you have given up in the midway, isn't it? I will read that again. Acts 1:8, 5:32, 2:32, 3:15, 10:39, 10:41, 13:31. There may be other references also you can find out. I have put in, you know, this many references in the note. So all this says that we are witnesses. Responsibility of evangelizing along with the church. We ought to be witnesses in the locality where we are planted. That's the responsibility as a scattered form. And as I said, it should be with our life and with our words also. You remember, while we were looking at the metaphors for the local church, one metaphor that we saw was a lampstand. Remember that? Lampstand or the candlestick? Yeah. Think about the lampstand. What is the use of the lampstand? Yeah, give light. If it doesn't give light, any use? No. We cannot keep it just for decoration, isn't it? You remove it. And when you come to chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, the Lord threatens even that, warns the church about it. If you don't do your work, I'm going to come and remove you from your place. It can happen. So this is very important. Individually and collectively, we ought to be the light of the world. The Lord said, ye are the light of the world. Number two. Do not neglect the gatherings of the assembly. Do not neglect the gatherings of the assembly. If you want a reference, you can write Hebrews 10:25. Hebrews 10:25. How many kinds of gatherings are there for the assembly? Yeah? Worship, okay, keep telling. Prayer, Bible study, gospel meeting, sisters meeting, cottage meeting, youth meeting, Sunday school, outreach ministry, anniversary. Oh, watch night, you said. Watch night meeting, okay. The anniversary also, you want to say? Okay. What is that? ABC meeting, okay. Family conference. Now write down. Number one. Gathering for breaking of bread. Gathering for breaking of bread. Gathering for breaking of bread. Acts 20:6-7. Acts 20:6-7. Number two, prayer meetings. Prayer meetings. Acts 12:5. Acts 4:23-24. Acts 12:5. Acts 4:23-24. Number three, Bible study. Bible study. Acts 2:42. Acts 11:26. Acts 2:42. Acts 11:26. Number four, Bible reading. I will explain this later. Okay, Bible reading. That means meeting for Bible reading. Okay. Acts 15:30-31. Colossians 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:13. Okay, I gave them three references there. Acts 15:30-31. Colossians 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:13. Number five. Gospel meetings. Acts 2:43-46. 43 and 46. Number 6. Meeting for testimony. Meeting for sharing testimony. Chapter 4, verse 23. Chapter 14, verse 27. Chapter 4, 23. 14, 27. Meetings for taking disciplinary action. Meetings for taking disciplinary action. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 4. That's it. Now many of the things that you said is not there, right? I will read it again. Gathering for the breaking of bread, prayer meeting, Bible study, Bible reading, gospel meetings, testimonies, and disciplining. Got all 7? Yeah? Yeah. And the references also I give. Alright, these are the meetings of a local church according to the pattern we have in the New Testament. Alright? These are the meetings according to the pattern we have in the New Testament. The youth meeting, the sisters meeting, and the Sunday school, and all those things we don't have here, but we have it because it is good for the assembly, isn't it? So we have it, but we cannot call them as the assembly gatherings. You should know one thing, when you say assembly gathering, or the gathering of the church, or the gathering of the assembly, well, that should be a gathering where all can come. Did you get that? To call a gathering as a gathering of the assembly or the gathering of the church, it should be a gathering where all can come, attend. There should not be any limitation for fellowship. Think about the Sunday school. Can the old ones come? No, it's for children, right? Think about the women's meeting, sisters' meeting. Can the men come? No, they will be thrown out. Think about the youth meeting. It's for young people, isn't it? You cannot call them as the assembly gathering. Did you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not telling that we don't want those meetings. It's good, right? So, under the responsibility of the assembly, we have it all. Let it continue. But at the same time, we should remember that those are not the assembly gatherings. Alright? The assembly gatherings are these 7 which I mentioned. Now, 2-3 things I should say about this clarification. I said about Bible reading, right? What is that? Bible reading. I given the references also, right? Later on you can read that and see and understand that the churches used to gather for reading the Bible. You know, now we all have Bibles with us, right? Each person has more than one Bible, isn't it? 3 Bibles, 4 Bibles. We are very blessed like that, and different languages, isn't it? But those were the time when people did not have Bible like this. Printing was not there, paper like this was not there, right? Everything was different. There were only handwritten copies. And it was very expensive to have one. So only maybe 1 or 2 in the assembly would have a Bible. Can everybody read? Yeah? No, now early morning we can get up and read the Bible, right? You all do it or what? Okay, that's different story. Alright. But those who want it, they can read it, isn't it? But in those times they did not have it. Probably only one person have one part of the New Testament. What they used to do is, the one who used to have it, they would come and they would read it from, read that to the people. People will just come to listen. It's not study. It's not Bible study. It's not teaching the doctrines. Just the reading alone. Now, that is not needed. Okay. So, one got deleted. Praise the Lord, isn't it? Only 6 are left. And then, you understood what is Bible reading, am I right? Clear? Okay. Now, the last one is disciplining. That's not a regular meeting. Okay? Disciplining means what? Taking disciplinary actions, isn't it? When somebody goes wrong, punishment should be there, isn't it? Maybe some people have to be warned. Maybe some people have to be rebuked. Maybe some decision ought to be taken in the church about it. Maybe some people have to be removed from the fellowship. Alright? So when there is a condition like that in a local assembly, the responsible people come together to take the decision for that. And I given the reference also for that, where we have an instance like that. So these are the seven meetings or the gatherings of the assembly. Let me tell you one thing. It is the responsibility of every believer to be present in those gatherings. Alright? It is the responsibility of every believer to be present in all these gatherings, not just on Sunday morning. All these gatherings. Prayer meetings are for whom? Uncle, it's not for us. It's only for the elders, deacons, evangelism. No, it's for everyone. And the excuse that we give for any absence should be acceptable to God, to the Lord, whose the gathering is. Who gathers? The Lord gathers, isn't it? It's the Lord's gathering. Lord is gathering his people. He is amidst them. The excuse that we say should be acceptable to him. Dear children, let me tell you one thing. Don't join the classes and things like that, which you keeps you regularly away from the gathering of the assemblies. Especially the Lord's Day gatherings. Did you all hear what I said? Nowadays in the local assembly, young people are not there. You ask, where are they? Their classes. And when we take up the classes, when we join the classes, well, we give exorbitant fees to them. And we never check whether it is there on Sundays also or not. Do we do that? And many a time what we do is, Uncle, it's only for this year. Now next year onwards, there's no problem. This year I'm in 12th. Or this year I'm in 10th. Board exam. Maybe there are rare cases where you have to attend. But don't keep yourself engaged with anything else on those days when there is a gathering, especially on the Lord's Day. Lord's Day means that day is not mine, not yours, but the Lord's. You have no right to decide where I should go or what I should do on that day. It's the Lord's Day. He will decide. And he has decided and written and given to you. Do not neglect the gatherings of the assembly. All are listening? And what do you feel about it? Necessary to take some decisions? No? Yes, isn't it? The Lord will honor you. Him that honoreth me, tell me the rest of it. Yeah, I will honor. And when it says that we should not neglect the gatherings together, it's not just being present there. It's not just our presence. You can be there and still, you know, be somewhere else in your mind, isn't it? But you should be actively present there. Be a part of what's happening there. Now come to the third one. We don't have time to spend more on these points. Number three. The beginning I said there are how many points? Yeah, seven. All right. Now coming to the third one. We must give importance to the fellowship. We should give importance to the fellowship. You can write few references. Ephesians 4 verses 1 to 5. That passage speaks about the unity of the saints. They are one in Christ. And you can write Colossians 3, 12 to 14. That says what all attitude you should have. To keep that relationship, fellowship. Like mercy, like, compassion. Forgiving one another. Forbearing one another, and things like that. Then you can write down one more passage, that is 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. 1 Corinthians 11, 17 to 34. That speaks of, in the morning also we had seen that, that speaks of, what? The Lord's Supper, remember that? The Lord's Supper. In the Lord's Supper we celebrate the unity, oneness, the communion. So every believer should be able to appreciate the importance of the fellowship. Did you get it? That fellowship is not like, you know, that relationship that we have with our friends in the college or school. This is a special one. There is a life relationship. There is a love relationship. Remember that? We have seen all that. Keep that fellowship. And as a responsible person, well, as a responsible member for that local assembly, you should be able to remember them in your prayers also. Do you pray for other believers in the local assembly? No one did nod your head, isn't it? Do you pray for the fellow believers in your assembly? Yes. Make it a practice that helps you to love them, keep the fellowship. So we must give importance to fellowship, alright? Well, number four, submit to the assembly elders. Submit to the assembly elders. You can write down this verse, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 to 7. There Peter is instructing the youngsters in the assembly that they should be in submission to the elders. 1 Peter 5, 5 to 7. And another one, Hebrews 13, 17. Hebrews 13, 17. In our last class also, we had referred to that passage. Obey, be in submission. Remember that? Yeah, that is that verse. So be in submission to them. Obey them. When they instruct, you know, be obedient. Don't just neglect them. You know, sometimes this question comes. To what extent should I be obedient to the elder? If that elder say, go and hit that person, should I do that? Huh? If an elder asks the youngster to do some sin, should he do that? No. The obedience should be rendered to him until that obedience becomes a sin. Did you get that? Did you get that? Come on, tell me. All are tired, it seems. Huh? We should render obedience to the instructions of the elders until that obedience becomes what? Sin. That means you're not allowed to do sin. You should be obedient to God more than to man. Acts 5:29. That's true about the parents also. If the parents ask us to sin, or do tell some lies and get things done, say no to it. I'm more responsible to God than to you. Similarly to the elders also, until the obedience comes to the point where it becomes a sin, a clear transgression of the word of God that's given to us. Well, till then we have to give obedience. So be obedient or submit to the assembly elders. Number 5, exercise your spiritual gifts. Exercise your spiritual gifts. You can write down these verses there. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter 4. Verses 10 and 11. Then you can write this also. Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 and 8. Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 and 8. If you look at Romans chapter 12. Verses 6 and 8. There we have the list of spiritual gifts. Alright. List of spiritual gifts. And when you look at 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11, there Apostle Peter is encouraging the believers to exercise the spiritual gifts for the glory of God. What is a spiritual gift? What is a spiritual gift? The spiritual gift is that God-given ability which a believer receives, which a person receives when he is born again, to fulfill the God-given function in the church. Think about a body. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul takes the same metaphor of body. There are many members, right? Each member has got a different function, right? With the hands, do we do things. With the hands, we never walk, do we? No, we don't walk. Some people can do that also, isn't it? But normally we don't. Alright, with the legs we walk, with the eyes we don't hear, do we? No, with the ears we hear, with the eyes we see. See, each member, each organ in the body has a different function to do. Think about a local church, it is body like, it's like a body. Each member is like an organ in that body. Then each member has a different function to do. It is the duty of each believer to know what is that ability given to him and exercise that. Suppose the ears don't do its function, the body suffers. Suppose the eyes don't do its function, the body suffers, isn't it? So if you don't do your function in the local assembly, the assembly suffers. How do we know what is that ability that is given to us? For some it is the ability to teach, some it is ability to exhort, some it is the ability to show mercy to others. So like that there are many, many gifts. How do we know what is given to us? To help you in that, I will just give you another example. You know, just now what we do, the spiritual gifts are spiritual enablements, which we get at the time of salvation, alright? But then there are natural talents, you know that, right? Give me some of the examples for that. Singing, dancing. Alright, tell me, give you some examples. Acting. Yeah. Playing, okay. Running, isn't it? When do you get that? Skipping, somebody said that also? Alright. When do you get the ability for that? Singing, for example, take the example of singing itself. When do you get that ability? Yeah? Born, it's inborn. By birth itself. By training, you develop it. Got it? So it's inborn, it's you get it by birth itself. Now tell me one thing. How do you know whether you can sing or not? You go to some place and 40 days you pray and fast and ask others also to pray about it to know whether I can sing or not. Is it like that? No. It's very simple. Sing and see. you can run or not? Run and see. For any natural gift, it is like that, isn't it? You do it and see. That is how you know that. In the spiritual sense also, it is the same way. How do you know whether you can teach or not? Teach and see. How do you know whether you can show mercy to others or not? Show mercy and see whether it's helping or not. Exhortation, administration, lot of gifts are there. For all that, well, you just do it and see whether you get the satisfaction or not, or whether others are helped or not. You know, like that, in the course of it, you come to know what gift is given to you. Once you know that, you exercise it more for the glory of God. It's very important, because the Lord who gave it knows what is given to you. And the Lord, when he comes, the first thing he is going to do is to sit with you and see what you did with that. And the reward and the glory that you're going to share there in future depends upon your faithfulness in that area. Come on, young people, it's a serious matter. If you really think about it, you will start trembling now itself. Number six. Support the needs of the assembly materially. That means give material support to the local assembly, its needs. Support the needs of the assembly materially. This may not be applicable for you now because you are under your parents. They are seeing all your needs, isn't it? All right. But you still put the offerings, am I right? Come on, that also you are telling, yes? Parents are giving and it's going to the pocket, it seems. Is that what is happening? No. Number seven. Conduct yourself exemplary to keep the testimony of the assembly. Conduct yourselves exemplary to keep the testimony of the assembly. Conduct yourselves exemplary. Exemplary means becoming examples in everything, you see. Exemplary to keep the testimony of the assembly. In the beginning we saw that scattered form and gathered form, remember? Yeah, you are in the society when it is in the scattered form. When you are with, in the society, maybe in the college, maybe in the school, with your friends or neighbors or whatever. Always remember, I am a member of the body of Christ. Alright? Anything that I do affects the testimony of the group to which I belong to. If I fail, I am failing my assembly, that group. If in any way there is my testimony is not kept, the testimony of the gathering also is affected. Alright? You got it? And when you are careful, well, you have to be careful about the way you speak. There are certain words that you cannot use with your tongue. No unworthy words we can speak. You should be careful as to what you do, your deeds. It should be Christ-honoring. It should not affect the testimony of that lampstand which the Lord has lighted and kept in the place where you live. And you have to be careful even about your dress. We cannot do it as the world does. Because you belong to a local church, the body of Christ. So in every way you ought to be exemplary. You can write this references. 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12, Philippians 2, 15 and 16. Philippians 2, 15 and 16. We will read both these verses, though our time is over. Okay, coming first of all to 1 Timothy 4, 12. There Apostle Paul is instructing this young man Timothy. He is saying, let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Simply put, in every aspect of your life, be examples to others. One more verse, what was that? Philippians chapter 2. Look at verses 15 and 16. There we read like this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as light of the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Hold forth the word of life. Let people see the word of God live through you. That's being exemplary. And when you are honorable, the church, the body of Christ is honored. Alright? So, being a Christian, being a member of His church, being a believer, being a child of God is very responsible thing. You got it? You became a child of God without any payment. Did we pay anything? No, just believed. Christ did it all. But living as a Christian is not like that. You have to really pay a price. So take the Christian living very seriously.